I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country.
Today on Close to Home, I'm going to take a journey in time. I'm going back 50 years to be exact, to 1967 and the Summer of Love. No doubt you've been hearing a lot about the Summer of Love on this, its 50th anniversary. This is going to be my own personal look back to a summer that I'll never forget. Early that year, the media was full of stories about the cultural revolution that was engulfing the country, and the anticipated gathering of hippies and other young people to celebrate love in cities throughout the country, most notably in the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco, but similar gatherings were occurring, some spontaneous, others planned in other locations as well. In 1967, I was 15 years old, going on 25, and I'd been living for several years 40 miles north of Grand Rapids in Big Fork, a community I viewed at the time as a dark and perverted Mayberry where hippies and flower children were as common as unicorns, and where, despite what Bob Dylan said, the times, they were not a-changing all that much. I felt isolated, unable to participate in events that sounded exotic, exciting, and downright fun. I was miserable. But then, opportunity knocked. My sister had taken a job in Minneapolis and got an apartment in the uptown neighborhood, several blocks from the intersection of Hennepin Avenue and Lake Street, just off Lake Calhoun, and she invited me down. I'd spend a month there and get a small taste of the Summer of Love. If my life contains a coming-of-age story, it arrived that summer. I packed my belongings in a backpack and hitchhiked to Grand Rapids to catch the Greyhound bus, which, after 5 or 6 hours, deposited me at the Minneapolis Bus Depot, a building that's now the First Avenue nightclub. And then I hiked several miles to my sister's apartment. I spent my first several days at Lake Calhoun, on the beach. But I soon made some new friends and began to spend more time around the U, on the West Bank, and Dinkytown, in coffee houses, dives, and apartments, expanding my acquaintances and my outlook on life. I was seeing a whole new world. I was no longer in Kansas. This was Oz. Some of my new acquaintances were the gentle people with flowers in their hair that Scott McKenzie sang about. Others were disillusioned and angry with war, government, and the society. I was consorting with hippies, yippies, and flower children of every description. There was talk of peace and love, existing without prejudice, without rules, in peaceful coexistence with all. But there was also talk of revolution, war, racism, and what was wrong with the society we were inheriting. And everywhere there was music, wild and wonderful new sounds that seemed to perfectly reflect the hopes, dreams, experiences, and fears of the day. Listening to some of those songs today instantly transports me back to that summer. If I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher, come away and light my fire. Unbelievably, there I was, in the middle of it all, soaking in what seemed a magical moment in time. But all was not peace and love.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
I saw the dark side of that summer as well. That was also the long, hot summer. In mid-July, on the north side of Minneapolis, simmering racial tensions erupted into violence along Plymouth Avenue. On the second of 3 nights of rioting, I went along with several others to see for ourselves what was happening. We weren't going to cause trouble or for any particular cause or actions. We merely wanted to see for ourselves, unfiltered, the chaos that was happening in an attempt to understand and to talk with those involved. Now, in hindsight, it was probably not the smartest thing to do, running into the fire, so to speak. We were stopped by National Guard troops, several blocks from our intended destination. But we were close enough to see what was going on and to talk with others, both black and white, about what was tearing our country apart. It was the bleakest part of my journey, but it made the experience of that summer more complete. What's going down? Before I knew it, my time there was up, and I had to return home and back to school. But I returned a different person. Sure, outwardly I looked somewhat different. My hair was longer. I'd grown what facial hair I could. I was either wearing a bright paisley shirt under a short navy blue tunic with a wide Edwardian collar and bright brass buttons, or my new white Nehru jacket. Around my neck, I wore strands of love beads and a large brass peace medallion. Both were gifts from an older woman, a 19-year-old flower child from Iowa named Allison, who I had explored much of the summer with. But more substantially, I'd changed inwardly as well. I'd been exposed to new ideas and had many new experiences that together changed how I looked at the world. I was not yet an adult, but I was no longer a child. I sometimes wonder, was it the summer of love that changed me, or was it merely being 15 going on 25? I don't know the answer to that, but in my mind, the summer of love was a time of transformation. I had hope for the future, and yet it somehow prepared me for the harsh realities to come in 1968. For Northern Community Radio, I'm Grant Frazier, and this is Close to Home. Peace, baby. Love is all you need.